Great. So as has been already mentioned, just while my glasses unsteam slightly, there we go. Tonight we are beginning a new series called Building Back Better. Try and say that really fast 20 times and we'll have created a new tongue twister. But as I've also mentioned, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah. That's the passage that we read this evening. And just thinking about that. I think for me, last week, we joined in with the Baptist Union of Scotland Canopies, had a weekend-long event. And we spent some time on the Sunday evening hearing from John Mark Comer, who talked a lot about the elimination of hurry. His title for his sermon was The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I think one thing on reflection is he was very hurried in his delivery. He tried to pack a lot into it. But I think one of the things I took away from it was that actually a lot of us over lockdown, over 2020, let's say, have spent time really reflecting on what is it that we are passionate about? What is it that we want to be known for? What is it that we want to spend our time on? And actually, there are probably things in our lives that we're going to let go of, that we don't really need anymore, don't really want to focus on or concentrate on. And there's some of the things that I want us to think about this evening and over the next few weeks as we kind of go through this series of Building Back Better. But I think lockdown was also known as that time when everybody decided they were going to learn a new skill or a new hobby. Anybody learn a new skill or a new hobby? Anyone give it a shot over lockdown? Anyone start and then not get any further? I've got a few nods, more of the starting and not finishing. That was me, to be fair. So I thought what we'd do, we'd begin in a lighthearted way this evening, and I'd teach you all a new skill that I think will be really useful for being in church. Okay, so one of the big things I'm finding with being in church is it's really difficult to communicate with the people around me, to have that conversation, hi, how are you doing, what's been happening this week, what's going on for you, how are you feeling, that kind of thing. So what I thought we would do is I thought we'd teach you a new skill that one will help us to build back better, but it will also be really useful for when we're in church over the next few weeks and months as we have to wear masks and all that kind of thing. So if we go to the next slide, I would like to teach you some basic Makaton. The next slide, hopefully, has some images on it. So what we're going to do is I'm going to teach you four different ways. So Makaton, for those of you that don't know, is a way of, it's like a basic sign language. We use it quite a lot with children, but it can be used at any point whatsoever. So I'm going to teach you hello, goodbye, happy, and sad. So hopefully tonight, next week, when you see someone across the room, you can say hello to them. You can say goodbye to them at the end, but you can also give an expression of how are you feeling. Are you feeling happy or sad? So, hello, this is hello. Hello. Goodbye is just this, but you do your hand like this rather than like this. Happy is this. I'm feeling happy and I'm sad. Okay, so I would like you to turn to a person around you, say hello, and let them know whether you're feeling happy or sad today. And if they're sad, I would like you to follow that up later in a socially distant, appropriate manner. I love this. So, great. You've now all learned a new skill. If anyone asks you over lockdown or during 2020, if you learned a new hobby and a new skill, you can now tell them that you did. You learned basic Makaton. So well done. Good job. Give yourselves a pat on the back. But this evening, I don't think I'll be the first person that has said that whatever happens post-lockdown, post-2020, as we look into the new year, I'm not the first person that have said things will look a bit different. And because of that, I believe that we have a chance to do things differently, to make different choices and to change the way that things may have been for a very long time. A couple of weeks ago, I headed to a conference, virtually, obviously, that was talking all about youth ministry and how we plan and prepare for youth ministry over the next 12 months. How do we kind of do youth ministry post-lockdown? And one of the illustrations that was used that I found really helpful and was this idea of the difference between building with bricks and building with sand. So the person that was speaking shared that for many years, we've built ministry or life with the bricks of institution. We've done it in a certain way because that's how we've always done it. Or that's how we've been told to do it. Or that's what the book says. That's how we should do it. If you follow this plan, Rob, then everything's going to be fine. But actually what they were saying now is the tide, excuse the pun, has changed. And we're now building with sand because everything we build has to be movable, has to be flexible, has to be adaptable to what happens. So as another wave comes in, or as things change and as regulations change, we need to be ready and able to shift how we do things. As a sandcastle, it needs to be flexible and movable. And I found that really helpful in terms of thinking about how do we start to put rhythms and build things back into my life. But also when it comes to thinking about how you hold a brick and how you hold sand. So if I was going to pick a brick up, I would probably go for this kind of position. This would probably be a good position to hold a brick, I hope. Whereas actually, if I wanted to scoop up as much sand as possible, my hands would be in a totally different position to there would be if I was holding a brick. And when it then comes to thinking of our attitude towards hearing from God on this, our posture towards worship, towards church, if our hands are like this, that's a sign of us being open, of us being ready and willing to hear from God, as opposed to this, where it's like, it's my way, I'm going to do things as I've always done them, I'm going to do them like that. So I'm hoping that over the next few weeks, we can encourage one another, encourage each other in terms of how we build back better. But it's not just me that's talking about this. It's not just SBC that's thinking about how do we do this differently. There are many people and many organizations out there that are looking at this and going, how do we do things differently? One of those organizations is Tearfund, and we're just going to watch a very brief video from them. It highlights three shifts that they've seen during this time. And it talks a little bit about how these shifts have improved not only our way of living, but also that for those around us. So we'll watch that just now, and then we'll unpack some more of that as well.
COVID-19 has shone a light on how unequal our world really is. For many people around the world, lockdowns have meant cramped living conditions, loss of jobs, increasing debt, and days without food. And it's reminded us of how we've damaged God's creation. Air pollution has made people more vulnerable, and our destruction of nature has made it more likely for diseases to jump species. But as we've journeyed through this crisis, three big positive shifts in society have also started to happen. The first is a shift away from individualism. We live side by side, but separate from each other. Now we found greater togetherness. Even though we're physically distanced, we're coming together as communities. Local communities are supporting each other in WhatsApp groups and mutual aid, and we've seen how thousands of key workers bravely hold our society together. The second shift has been valuing life more than productivity. So often our value has been defined by what we have or how productive we are. But now, dignity of life for everyone is top of the agenda. So much of the economy has been put on pause to protect people's health. People who are homeless have been housed, and millions of us are giving our time and resources to support the most vulnerable. And lastly, there's a shift towards greater imagination. In a poll during April, only 9% of Britons wanted life to return to normal after lockdown. We're discovering how much is possible. We've built new hospitals in days. We've seen unprecedented government support and a world change overnight. Now more than ever, people are hoping that the world really will change for the better. But this change is not guaranteed to last. If we don't act, we could easily fall back to the old normal. Or we could go in a worse direction, where the lockdowns result in racism and division, inequality gets worse, and public money is used to bail out big polluting companies. But if we embrace these three big shifts, towards togetherness, life, and imagination, we could see real change. The reboot of the economy could fast-track action on the climate emergency, protect the most vulnerable, and reduce inequality. This just might be possible if we take action together. In his Easter sermon, Archbishop Justin Welby said, "After so much suffering, so much heroism from key workers and the NHS, we cannot be content to go back to what was before as if all is normal. There needs to be a resurrection of our common life. As the people of God, we can be a part of casting a vision for a way forward. How will you play your part?"
So we're going to spend the next few weeks focusing on some of these topics and using the book of Nehemiah and his experience of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Wall of Jerusalem as a way of challenging ourselves of how are we rebuilding life around us. So, what do we know about Nehemiah? Let me give you some context to that book. Nehemiah is one of those short books in the Old Testament that it can be easily to pass on by. But it tells of a very specific story of the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem and of God's people, giving them a vision for the future. For some context, Jerusalem had been destroyed, and people, such as Daniel of Lion's Den fame, had found themselves in foreign countries. And this is where Nehemiah appears in the story. An Israelite living in Persia, serving the king of that country, of that nation. We know that there were some Israelites still within Jerusalem, but the temple had been destroyed and the city was defenseless with no walls to protect it. In the book of Ezra, which is just before Nehemiah, we read of how the temple was rebuilt. However, it was Nehemiah who, when he heard Jerusalem's plea and felt a feeling and a burden of God for his ancestors' city, that he decided to take action. In Nehemiah, in the first chapter of Nehemiah, and if you haven't read the whole book, I would encourage you to do so, because we're going to be dipping in and out of it over the next few weeks rather than going through it verse by verse. But we see in that first chapter that Nehemiah stands before God and he prays, asking for answers to his questions, for release from his situation to be able to go and serve those people, to be able to work with those people to build back better. And I wonder how many of us have prayed to God to move during the last year, to see him at work in different situations, have maybe felt God give us a bigger passion or burden for something or someone. Because it's often in times of trial that we evaluate what's important, and it's these things that we need to pray for. We read on in the rest of Nehemiah that God answers his prayer. He gains favor with the king to travel to Jerusalem and assess the situation. And this is where we pick up tonight's reading. As we've heard, Nehemiah goes about assessing and vision casting in a very certain way. From the very beginning of this book, we've seen that Nehemiah knows he is not in this or to do this alone. The only way he will complete his tasks, fulfill his passion, overcome the burden that God has given him, is to do it in partnership with others. It's to do it together. Remember back to those shifts that we just seen on that video. How many of you now know your neighbors better? You feel more connected and more part of a particular community. Because it's during these recent times that some of us have discovered how connected we are to each other and how connected we actually need to be. It's this example of togetherness that Nehemiah gives us that I want us to look at and think through this evening. So the first thing from tonight's passage that we see and understand about Nehemiah knowing about togetherness is that he understood. Verse 17 says, "Then I," that being Nehemiah, "said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision.'" From the very beginning, this is Nehemiah's first speech to the people of Jerusalem. Look at his language. He says, "We are in. Let us build that we may." The impression this gives is one of togetherness, community and teamwork. There is no mention of "I," because if that is what it said here, we would feel a sense of alone and independence. Nehemiah understood that they were in this together. He speaks of "we" and "us," and not "you, I, or them." And I think that's really important for when we think about how we move in this direction together. Because this reveals our hearts and our minds. The language that we use is powerful. The language that Nehemiah used with the people of Israel at that time was powerful. They understood, they felt like they were part of a bigger vision here. And it's exactly the same for each of us. The language that we use is powerful, and even the simple small words, the single digits, the double digits, even these small words can reveal our true feelings about something or someone. And I believe that during the last 7 months, many of us have realized our interconnectedness with the world, with each other, with nature. How many of you, for that hour of freedom that we got in proper lockdown, all of a sudden noticed things in nature that you'd never noticed before? Use that time to go for a walk and value what was around you. How many of us, we saw the rise of Zoom, and how many of us had to rely on that to see and connect with family members? Or the number of online quizzes that we took part in. All of a sudden, there was a new one every week that we could do to stay connected and stay involved with other people. People have been reaching out to find communities in many new ways, and this is something I don't think that we should lose as we move forward. But it's not just in Nehemiah, it's not just in the Old Testament that we see this. Jesus himself reminds us about the value of loving one another, of being connected to each other in the New Testament. When he's asked what was the greatest commandment, after loving God with all you are, he says, and the second is like that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul, when he's writing to the Colossians, reminds us that all things, that above all things we should love one another, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. He sees that this is the ultimate way. Loving, connecting, being part of a community is the ultimate way that we connect with one another. So we've seen that Nehemiah understood what he had to do. He understood the importance of togetherness. What we also see in this passage is that the people understood. Verse 18 says, and they said, let us rise up and build. Again, notice that language, let us rise up. It wouldn't have been very encouraging or particularly useful if Nehemiah had said, we're in this together, and the people of Jerusalem had said, great, off you go, get on with it. Good luck, mate. The people of Jerusalem understood that it takes the hands of partnership to accomplish the work of the Lord, to accomplish that greater good. And over the last few months, we've seen partnership and people coming together like never before, all for that idea of a greater good and for supporting one another. Whether that was people clapping the NHS, encouraging them as they encountered situations like never before. Whether it was organizations working together to see homeless people given somewhere to sleep that was safe and warm, or communities coming together to provide for each other. One example I can think of this is, I quite enjoy baking bread. Bear with me on this one. I was into sourdough before sourdough became a thing during lockdown, just to put it out there. But one of the things that that disappeared off our shelves during lockdown was bread flour. I mean, this is showing my age slightly now. And no matter where I looked, supermarkets, I even went to Booker's to try and buy it in bulk format, there was no bread flour left. And my poor sourdough starter needed feeding, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And all of a sudden, into the WhatsApp group of the place of Stirling that I live in, popped this message that somebody, instead of buying 1.5 kilograms of flour, had accidentally bought a 15 kilogram bag. And instead of sending it back and saying, oh, I'll just get my refund on that, they decided that they were just going to give it to people that needed it. So over the next few days, multiple people passed their door and took a bag of flour. And that saved my bread baking, and I was able to bake again. Just a funny example of how that togetherness, that thinking of each other during that time, helped our community grow and that community grow. To use an old-fashioned saying, it takes two to tango. So as well as being open-minded to being part of something together, we need to lean into what that is and all that it involves. Are we willing to step up no matter what the situation we may discover or find ourselves in? Because it wasn't just that mutual understanding between Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem. They both understood that they had a part to play in that. It wasn't just that that meant they saw the rebuilding of Jerusalem, because there was a third part that they needed. And that third understanding was to understand God. And in verse 20, we see what that means. And I think this is the most important part of that understanding of connectedness and togetherness. Nehemiah, from the beginning, had drawn close and listened to God and his calling and his burden and his questionings. And because of this, he'd found favor with the king of Persia. He'd let him go and travel to Jerusalem to begin rebuilding the city walls. However, Nehemiah understood that not everyone would understand what was happening and what was taking place. Not everyone would be on his side. So as he gathered the people and gave them the vision for the future, he knew that he would face opposition. And his response to them was that the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. What we see here is an understanding of community, that as we and they followed God's will, they would be faced with setbacks, times of discouragement, oppression. We know that being a follower of Jesus is not easy. And if you go on and read the rest of Nehemiah, you know that this is the case, that it's not easy sailing for them as they rebuild those walls. But they understand from the very beginning that no matter what, God is with them. They understand the importance of not only the relationship that they had with one another, but also the relationship that they had with God. So this is the same challenge for us today. As we enter this new chapter of our lives, this new chapter of the world even, as we wrestle with what it is to let go and what to hold on to, do we understand that at the center of all of this should be our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son? As was mentioned earlier, Justin Welby in his Easter sermon said, it's this common life. There needs to be a resurrection of common life. And it's this common life that sees us look out for one another, helping and supporting one another and being together as we embrace with the world, as we move into this new time. It's this common life that as Jesus' followers, we are asked to become part of. However, this common life can only come about because of Jesus. The example that we see, but ultimately the sacrifice that we know he made for each of us. Nehemiah wanted to rebuild the walls to see a better place for God's people and God's temple. We are rebuilding now to see a better earth, better community, and more people coming to know of Jesus' love for them. We want to see better connection and to understand that we are deeply connected with one another and with the whole of creation. So during this next song, we're going to take communion together. I'm going to pray for the bread and the wine at the beginning. And then as Phil comes to play the next song, I'm going to encourage you to come from the back, forward, take the elements,